Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Last night, I got to attend the Top 25 Most Powerful Women in Business Gala, hosted by the Colorado Women's Chamber of Commerce. And even better than that is I got to celebrate my longtime client, Arzu Zarafshan, who was one of the recipients of this prestigious award last night. It was so amazing to cheer her on in all her success. Arzu is the founder of Call Emmy, an app bringing resources like meals and housekeeping and more to busy parents. Arzu founded her app after her own experience of needing help as a busy mom. You know, she just woke up one day and said, there's a need here. And she moved and she went into action. She built the app. She's growing her business and it's so inspiring. So it's really fun to see all her recognition that she's getting at this such a high level. So a big shout out of congratulations to Arzu Zarafshan. Last night was so much fun to be back in a room of powerful women, being connected, the hugs, the laughter, the celebration. I just feel a whole new sense of uplift this morning, and I'm still resonating on that high vibration energy. It's amazing what solid connection can do for us. And I don't know, there's just something special about a room full of powerful women and just what it does for our souls. So I hope you are finding ways to be back in community with women. If you're being called to be in a room of powerful women, two events you need to check out. First, join us on September 28th for the Extraordinary Women Connect Gala, where five of the women who were inducted into the 25 Most Powerful Women in Business last night will be in the room on September 28th. And they're going to be available for intimate conversations with the attendees. I love this event because this gives people an ability to sit around a table and have meaningful conversations with some of Colorado's most powerful women in business. How cool is that? And of course, the Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference is November 11th through 13th. And that is 3 days of powerful planning on your business so that you step into 2022 really ready to level it up, to raise up your business, to raise up your voice, to raise up your impact. And there's going to be inspiration from some very wise women. There's going to be connection. There's going to be more. So details on both of these events are available on my website at camigellner.com. Go check that out. We would love to have you at both those events. Speaking of powerful, wise women, today I am thrilled to introduce you to a woman who has helped me fall in love with sales, Liz Wendling. Liz and I are longtime friends, and today Liz drops so many wisdom bombs on selling with our heart and soul. Liz Wendling is a nationally recognized speaker, a sales consultant, and author of 6 books. Her 2 most recent books are The Heart of Authentic Selling and Sell Without Selling Your Soul. She is driven by the mantra, it's not what you sell, it's how you sell that matters. You are going to love this interview. It's filled with so much Liz wisdom to uplevel your ability to sell from your heart and not your head. Let's meet Liz Wendling. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Liz. I am so excited to have you. And I can't believe it's taken this long for us to get you onto here. I don't know how that even happened, possibly, but I am thrilled to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. And everything is about timing. So I have a feeling today is exactly the right time we're supposed to be together.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And so you and I have known, and I love when you were your prep form that you sent my way. It's like we've known each other forever and ever. We started back in a leads group over a decade ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we had so much fun. We were growing our businesses, we were learning. And you were my first sales coach. And you taught me some really good things. And I know sales keeps evolving and changing and all that. We can talk about all of that. And I still to this day use some of the wonderful lessons you taught me all the way back then.
Oh,
and so, yeah. And I'm excited to hear your wisdom on what's going on and, you know, in the world of sales and in the world of connecting with our clients and that sort of thing. So I'm really excited to dig into that. I want to talk, we were just chatting before we jumped on here, just about how you've just recently been realizing you have about 15 more hours of time in your day. Tell us a little bit about that before we dig in.
Not my day.
In your week. Right.
Well, I realized through COVID that because we're home so much more, I'm networking online. I decided to keep track of how much time I wasn't putting into hopping in my car, driving somewhere, waiting for someone, driving home. And even some of that downtime of when you do have to drive to an event and then you come home, you just don't run back home and start typing on your computer. You got to go let the dog out. You have to grab something to eat. All that time was about a 3-hour investment, if you think about it, from the time you disengage to reengage. And if you do that once a day, 5 days a week, that for me was an extra 15 hours that I got to choose how I wanted to fill that time.
Yeah.
And I decided to read more. I have so many books on my Kindle and I will just curl up right next to the dog and I'll read for an hour in the middle of the day when I never used to allow myself to do that. Yeah. I'm going to the gym more, taking more classes. And it's just been lovely to discover that time is there. And how do I want to make the best use of that time?
It's such a conscious choice to be able to say, what would I like to be doing in the midst of this and still being able to make our businesses just thrive. And in fact, I find that by taking care of myself that way, it's we can really show up in our businesses in even a better way versus the go that we were in. So one of the gifts of a whole pandemic that you know, we can learn from that. And I myself am same. It's like, I'm not going to go back to the pace of movement that I was going through prior to this. So
it's nice contrast, because I did that thinking that was the way we were all supposed to run our businesses. And you move and you run and you meet. And the contrast of that was, wow, that's a big difference. I like my life right now. I like the way it is.
Totally. So that's so cool. As I was preparing for this, I realized I don't even know your personal story moving into the world of sales. So I'm like, okay, this is something new for me to discover with you. So tell us a little bit about how you journeyed into the world of sales, how that became a thing for you. What's your story there?
Well, it was sort of by accident. I took a job when I was living and working in Manhattan in the, it must have been early 90s. Yes, it was early 90s. And there was a beautiful brand new gym attached to our building that had just gone up. And I wanted to work out there. But in 1992, $95 a month is like $500 a month now. Mm-hmm. And I got a job instead. So I got a free membership, but I also got a job selling fitness memberships. Mm-hmm. And I was sent to sales training school. And back then everything was get the sale, sign the contract, seal the deal, do what you need to sign people up. And I didn't know it at the time, but what I was being taught didn't even feel good in my body in 1992. It just felt lousy. And there was something about it that was off-putting to me, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't have any other resources to say, oh, let me sell a different way. Let me try something different. So I just went into my intuition and I treated people the way I would want to treat my mother, my sister, my parents, anybody that was close to me. And I would talk to them like I knew them already. And it felt a little weird because I didn't really even know what I was doing, but I realized it started to work. And I became the top salesperson 3 months in a row and still not really knowing exactly what I was doing. All I knew was I was connecting with people and having great conversations. And then I got clear that I needed to come clean to my boss, told him what I was doing. And he was so mad at me. He said, grab your bleep and get the hell out of here. I didn't.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He said, I didn't teach you to do it your way. And he was so mad at me. And I didn't realize at the time, I probably poked his ego and got him really pissed. I was devastated because I was making them money. I was making money. I had a free membership. So I thought I was doing the right thing. But what I realized I was doing was the right thing by the client, not the right thing by him. Right. And that just led me on that trail of wanting to do this, but wanting to do it in a way that honored me. And I realized sales was the way that I controlled how much money I made at any given time. I controlled the water faucet. I can turn it on, as long as I was doing it in a way that honored me and honored my client.
That's so awesome. And you know, and it's interesting that he rejected what you were doing and you were being successful with it. And you were just being honest, Liz, saying, guess I'm coming clean here.
Yeah. And the one thing I started doing was, I think it still exists. When you sign a contract, I don't know if it's any contract, but at least a fitness contract, you have 3 days to change your mind. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't tell anybody that. That was part of training. Don't tell people that they can get out of their contract, because then they will. Well, that was my little secret. I would say to people, if you're feeling uneasy right now, know this. You do have 3 days to completely change your mind. If you go home and you don't feel good about what you just did here today, then just let me know and we'll rip up the contract. Yeah. That lowered the walls, opened them up, and made them say, thank you. Let's do it. And that is how more people signed up with me, because of transparency.
I love that. I love that. So, you know, when we were working back all those years ago together, I think that's the one thing that shows up for me is the relationship building. And, you know, even when I am teaching in my own mastermind community right now, it's about falling in love with sales. And it's about falling in love with sales because it's a relationship. And that's exactly what you're talking about. It's about creating this relationship. And I'm going to share a story about when I was working with you. So it was, and you'll remember this. I was doing both coaching and consulting, and I had an opportunity to put a proposal together for the city of Denver.
I remember.
Yeah. And I remember what we sat down and we went through all of this, and it was a big contract. You know, this was like my first year of business and it was a big contract, and it was a consulting project, which I had never had led before. Mm-hmm. And you walked me through the steps of how to really get into the heart and soul of what they were desiring, what they were. And so I remember walking into those meetings, having this list of questions that I could really go deep into with them. Mm-hmm. And as we dug deeper into it, it's like, I was listening. I was just listening, listening, listening. And that's what you taught me, was to listen. Right. And then when I went back with the proposal, it was basically feeding back to them what they had said. And I remember I landed that contract and then I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to do this level of work, because it was a big deal. And I called my friend, it was an appreciative inquiry work, and it was consulting and working with their teams and multiple teams. And I called a friend of mine who had been a consultant for a long time, and we paired up and we ran that project for 2 years with them. Mm-hmm. And we became great partners with them. You know, we really worked with them. And it really started with those upfront questions that you gave me that helped me see through the lens of their eyes, the lens of what they were desiring.
Not what you wanted to bring.
Exactly.
Right. It's what they needed, not what you wanted to show up as.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is it that you teach today? I mean, so I know sales keeps evolving. Mm-hmm. That was over a decade ago.
Right.
You know, so sales has evolved from 10 years ago to 5 years ago and even 18 months ago, right? I mean, sales is different. What's different now that we need to know?
Well, you are so right. Things change, but there'll always be that foundation of sales that never changes. Mm-hmm. And that is, everyone wants to do business with, sit down with someone, have a conversation with someone who is not in their head, in their heart. That's it. I mean, that will never, ever change. And
right.
What I notice with a lot of professionals, especially female professionals, they say things like, I just want to serve. I just want to be there for my client. I just want to, you know, help them. I want this. I want that. But what they don't realize is when they say, I want this, they're actually in their head and they're coming across self-serving. Because it's all about what I want. I want this, or I don't want to be this, or I don't want to come across pushy. Instead of saying what you do want to be, right?
Yeah,
as
right.
You want to be confident and you want to come across as confident and congruent, but they're all up in their head saying things like, I don't like to sell, or I don't want to be pushy. Instead of really going into their body and deciding how they really do want to be and how they really want to show up. So when they carry your, I call it sales baggage, they carry that sales baggage with them on every single sales meeting, sales conversation, situation that they're in. And they're so focused on what they don't want to be, they never really decide how they want to show up.
And that's what I like about what you're saying. It's about how they want to show up in their body, in their heart, in their connection with that person.
Yep.
And that is a different, that's a different way of being versus like going in with this linear,
yes,
you know, exactly. So that's so cool. So that part has never changed. What has changed?
What has changed is people are tired of dragging that baggage into their conversations of today. The modern consumer, the evolved ideal client that you have, they're evolved, they're smart, they're savvy, they've done their homework, they've done their research. Many of them know exactly what they want when they come to you. Now, maybe they don't, they think they know what they want, and it's up to you to discover what they really want and need. However, they're doing their research. So we can no longer meet them where we used to meet them. We have to meet them where they are. And you can only know where someone is by asking great questions, by getting under the hood and being okay with asking those personal questions.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to meeting people today where they are, knowing that they're smart, they're savvy, they've researched you and probably seven other people on top of that.
Right.
They don't likely only talk to you. A lot of times they're talking to a few other people. Mm-hmm. And if you sound and look and appear and come across and have language that sounds like we did in the 1980s and 90s or 2 short years ago, then they're going to view you as someone that maybe isn't as evolved as they are.
Yeah. So true. And it's, they can sense it, right? I mean, they can sense that there's a, you know, if you're going at it, a grasping or one of the favorite things I've always liked is go into a sales conversation with all of your best relationship building and, you know, your best closing talents and skill sets, and then let go of the outcome.
Yes.
And just be in that space of there with that person, that you're really with them, you're hearing them, you're listening.
And they could feel it. Yes.
Yeah.
And stop asking stupid questions like, what keeps you up at night? When I hear that, I just cringe. It is such an outdated way to get under the hood and get inside of what's really happening to someone's business or life and positioning yourself as someone who's, I'm going to ask you questions and I'm asking you them for a reason. I'm not asking them because I downloaded a list of questions off the internet and this is what they told me to ask. Oh my, another one I got, somebody asked me this a couple of weeks ago when I was looking at, I secret shop and we can get into that as well. But the person said to me, if I could wave a magic wand, I almost fell over because just when I thought that was dead and buried, that person asked me the magic wand question. Like, enough already. We've got to stop sounding like we did in the 80s. Right. Those questions feel salesy and they don't really feel like you're building a question based on me and my situation.
Oh my God. That is so, thank you for that. And I think that's the shift that if we're there, I mean, we wouldn't say that in a real conversation with somebody.
No.
So it's really getting into the heart of that connection of that relationship.
And crafting questions that have some emotion in them that really sound like we're going deep. We're getting,
so give us a couple examples there.
So
that you love.
Okay, even before asking questions, I also teach this because a lot of times this shows up is people will say, do you mind if I ask you some questions? Would it be okay if I ask you some questions about what's happening in your business? And mm-hmm. I call that permission-based questioning, which nothing screams 1990s quite like that.
Yeah.
I'm coming to you because you could potentially help resolve my issues.
Right.
Of course you have to ask questions. Questions are expected. It causes someone to feel confused.
So I'm so glad you said that because I was afraid you were going to, because I was thinking, sitting here thinking, I don't ask that question anymore.
Good. Good. And so I know why people ask it, and it's because you want to be respectful and you want to be kind, but what you do to the potential client and the person you're talking to, it causes doubt. It triggers that skepticism in someone. And they're thinking, how else are we going to have a conversation unless you ask me questions?
Well, and you know where else they teach that is on, you know, like when you have a room full of people and you're going to invite them into something, may I take a moment with you too?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same. And it's like, I don't like those canned kind of things.
No. And in fact, I was listening to a talk again a couple weeks ago and someone said, do you mind if I share a little about myself?
Yeah.
And what are people in the audience going to go? No, sit down. No. So I get it, but it is instead of saying 2 years ago when I started my business and going right into about mm-hmm. yourself instead of, do you mind if I ask, tell you all about me? It comes across as past, like a little wishy-washy versus confident and strong. Mm. So you want to strip that out and ask those questions. And
thank
I might
you.
Say, Cammy, I know you and I are talking for maybe the next 45 minutes today, but I want to start with you. I want to put the focus on you and get a sense of what's really going on inside your business. I know a little bit about it because you filled out a form, but I want to get under the hood and find out what's causing some of these issues. I'm going to ask you some questions that maybe sound a little weird in the beginning, but it's my opportunity to see if I can't peek around the corner to see what else is going on. Yeah. Many times someone will tell me one thing, but what I'm hearing is something different. And those are the kind of questions I'm going to ask you today. So let's get started.
Awesome. I love that.
A number, that's just one of a dozen ways that you can open it up. But it says, I'm not treating you like everyone else. So what's keeping you up at night? How long has that been going on?
Yeah.
How much is that costing you? All those questions, although important, you want to know that. Let's not phrase them like we got stuck in the 90s.
Oh, that's so brilliant. So brilliant. And I think if you're in a real conversation with somebody, your intuition is what's going, if you're listening and you're being curious and you're bringing your wisdom to the table, you know what kind of questions to ask in the moment versus having this list of canned.
Exactly. And you may have 5 questions that you ask every client. That's fine because you know that those help you put the cherry on the top.
Right.
But don't think that just because you downloaded 10 questions that somebody else on the internet says, this is how you do a sales call or a sales conversation. That may not fit you. It might be misaligned with who you are and the way that you take someone through that inquiry.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love it. So what is it about women in sales? And, you know, I mean, I know when I came into the world of being an entrepreneur, I'd come out of the corporate world. I'd been a marketing VP for many, many years. I'd led sales training. I'd been to sales training and I still had this perception that wasn't a very nice view of sales. And then it was like, oh, to be an entrepreneur, you got to be a salesperson.
That's right. And you like to eat and you'd like a roof over your head. Yeah.
So I had to like get through all my own crap behind that, right? I really had to maneuver through that. What is it about women in sales that, you know, why they really hate to sell? What's that thing? And I don't hate to sell anymore. I actually love to sell. Yeah. But I know that a lot of people come to that with that viewpoint of, you know, sales is icky.
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about what are some of the foundations under that and how do you help people? And I know how you help people personally, because I know you really helped me with that. But just share a little bit of wisdom from that perspective.
It's such a big question because there's a lot packed inside of that. And again, it comes back to that sales baggage that a lot of women carry around.
Yeah.
And in that baggage says, I'm not a natural born salesperson. Mm. I'm not one of those people who wants to force anybody to do something like that's the only way that there is to sell. Right.
Right. The pushy
or,
guy.
I'm not the salesy type. Yeah. I'm not comfortable selling. Some of the other ones are, I don't sell, I serve. So what they do is they carry around these mantras in their sales bag because it keeps them safe and it keeps them protected and it keeps them from having to step at powerfully and confidently into a sales conversation.
And I want to just point the one last one you said, because I've heard this so often. I don't do sales. I serve.
Yeah.
I've heard that one a lot. So I just want to make sure people heard that one.
And I'll touch on that a little bit, Cammy, is that's, you can't sell, you can't separate selling and serving. You can't.
Right.
And what I see people do is when they say, I don't sell, I serve, a lot of times they show up with servant energy with that, I'll do anything for you. Yes, I'll put a proposal together and I still have no idea what you need, or no problem, I can discount. And they just serve like a waiter in a restaurant. I'll be right back. I'll go get you that. No problem. We could take that back and redo that. And we show up with this serving energy. And I tell my clients, nobody wants to do business with a servant. They want to do business with a woman who's aligned and confident and strong and compelling. They want someone who can stand up for themselves and say, I'm happy to do a proposal, but it doesn't sound like I have the right information or enough information for me to do that accurately. Why don't we do this?
Be a leader.
And be the leader, right? And not show up as, yeah, I could do that. Oh, okay, I can call you back. Yeah, I'll call you back in 2 weeks. Oh, another 2 weeks, I'll do that too. So don't make the mistake and think that serving is selling. I should say that you're just serving and you're not selling. Yeah. Because that usually ends up with someone saying, I'm going to need to think about it. I don't have the money. I'll call you in a few weeks. And because you didn't show up and you wasted their time, basically. That's what happens.
And that's so true, right? As if you're not there to help them maneuver or move to that next space and don't really fully show up for them.
Right.
You're not fully serving them.
Yeah. And serving actually is very expensive. It really does cost you, because when you can't fully step up as the confident, strong woman that you are, then you're showing them that you don't really have what it takes to help them navigate through their issues. And that's a big problem right now. Instead of understanding what sales is for you, first understand what good selling means for you. And it doesn't ever mean that you have to be controlling or convincing or manipulative. You never have to step into that. But if you think that's what you have to do, you will never be good at selling. Ever. You never have to sacrifice your soul to get the sale. You get to come from your soul to get the sale.
That's so beautiful. So let's talk about what's the biggest obstacle that keeps us from getting into that authentic heart felt conversation from our soul. I mean, what gets in the way of that?
Oh, this is a biggie too. And it is a place where I see a lot of, where this particular obstacle is misunderstood and it's being misused. And that is when someone says, I'm just going to be authentic. I'm just going to show up and be authentic. And what they do is they're saying they're going to be authentic, but on the back end of that, they have no skills to be able to back that up.
Right.
And they think that being authentic and showing up as just themselves, actually, they think they're doing a good thing, but what it's doing is making them look inauthentic and appear salesy and phony. And they can't really see it until they hear the distinction. And what I mean by that is they're saying they're being authentic, which is another way of saying, I just want to be nice. I just want to be nice to people. Yeah. But there's a big distinction between being nice versus being real. Being nice versus being real is big, because the opposite of being nice is not being mean. It's not being a self-centered jerk. It's not being a pushy salesperson. The opposite of being nice is showing up and being real. It's being authentic. And wanting to appear nice and trying to be that nice person actually makes you look like a fake. Mm. And because, I mean, we've all been there, including myself, where you're right. Like, okay, well, I won't say that because that wouldn't be very nice. Or I probably shouldn't really ask that question because that's a little personal. And so I sacrifice me being authentic, trying to be nice. And then the sale doesn't happen anyway because I wasn't myself.
Well, and you're not really, if you're being real, you're having some of the difficult conversations, which may not always be nice. They may be there has to, you know, if you're really in that moment and you're hearing what's happening and there's tough, difficult questions, or there's something, you know, for them to dig deeper into, to uncover something, right?
Right.
That's a whole different way of being.
Totally different. And the distinction is being nice is driven by the need for approval. It's ego driven, not heart driven. And being real is more heartfelt. It's grounded. And that's what people feel. And it's in the way you connect, communicate, and engage with people that is truly felt on that soul and heart level. But when you're trying to be nice, people feel something's off. It's like they can't quite put their finger on why communicating with you doesn't feel real to them. It feels like something is off because there's an artificial person showing up in front of them.
Right. I mean, it's even a coaching skill set, right? I mean, I'm literally in my mind thinking of how you show up as a coach. You show up in a way that it's not about being nice. It's about sometimes you got to say, wait a minute, here's some real things you need to hear.
Yeah.
And that's a skill set that you use in sales, is a skill set you use as a coach, it's a skill set you use as a consultant. I mean, it's helping people see things through a different lens is all part of it.
So true, Cammy. And that niceness also shows up and feels like a people pleaser.
Right.
And that is the kind of energy that actually makes people run, lie, and hide to you.
Yeah. Run, lie, and hide.
Yeah. I don't mean to keep bothering you, so I'll just keep following up. And it's like women are surprised when people don't get back to them, but a lot of times they don't say, I wonder what I did to create that. I wonder what I said. Maybe it was how I showed up, because the evidence is there. We just have to look in the right place for the evidence. We can't keep blaming our potential clients and say, oh, they just couldn't afford me. They don't have the money. Yeah. It's their fault. Instead of turning the spotlight on ourselves and saying, you know what, maybe I was a little needy in that conversation, or maybe my energy wasn't true. And maybe I didn't ask those deep questions that I know I should have asked.
Yeah. How do you recommend to your clients that they do that self-reflection back to themselves after conversations?
They usually know it when we start dissecting it, but I tell them to the moment they hang up that call or finish their meeting, get in their car, shut off the Zoom, quickly reflect. What happened? What did you do well? What are some things that you started feeling in your body or you started saying in your head that got in the way of that heart-to-heart conversation with someone? Jot that stuff down, because that's where the evidence is. What did you not ask? Did you feel yourself saying, oh, I should ask that question, but that would be too personal? If you if you heard yourself say something like that, ask, what in me caused me not to go all the way over the finish line with someone because of my own fear?
Right.
And it's a cause for a place to have a coaching session around. It's like, we got to get in there, dismantle all of that, come up with better questions or ways that you can get out of your head, back in your body, and ask that tough question. And it's not saying, do you mind if I ask you a tough question? It's saying, Cammy, what you said was so interesting. I wrote this down and I want to pick at it a little bit, or I want to get a little more from you around that. You said this, can you say more about that? Or how about this? Or why is that happening? Tell me why that's been happening. I had a woman say to me a couple months ago, she said, she's had 6 coaches, and she said, you'd be the 7th coach that I'm hiring and nothing works. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I hope those other 6 knew that, but, or didn't know that, because they willingly walked into a situation with someone who clearly isn't doing the work. And right. I said to her, 7? Either I'm lucky 7 or unlucky 7. I said, we need to talk about that before we go one step farther into your conversation. I need to know why you're on number 7 and what happened to those other 6.
Yeah. And so then, like, going deeper.
I mean, we were on a Zoom call and her eyes got really wide, and I needed to know, how am I going to be any different?
Right.
If you didn't listen to them, you're going to actually listen to number 7. And we got really clear what was going on, and she was crying. I didn't want to make her cry, but she came clean with me, and she's like, I find that I do half of what I need to, and I don't finish the rest. I keep sabotaging myself. She got really clear in her head. She said it out loud. The call was recorded. And I said, you need to go back and listen to what you just shared with me, because that's the evidence you need to figure out before you hire anyone. I'm not taking your money. You're not hiring me today. Let's talk when you figured that out.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
I have a call right after this with her.
And she's probably your new next client.
Yeah,
and
she's super fresh on my mind.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, being being with somebody where they're at is, you know, you're on that journey with them in a way that you can help uncover that. And I love that you said, we're not doing this now. You need to go deeper with this.
Yeah.
And now she's like, yes, I am wanting this. So I think that's amazing. I love it. I love it. And we've talked a little bit about this, but what does it sound like to sell from the heart and not the head? And how do we tell?
Oh, it's a real distinction. And this could be something that you could practice for the next week to 21 days. When you're stuck in your head and you know that you're spending too much time up there and not in your body is when you focus too much on yourself, not the potential client. When it's saying things like I said earlier, oh, I hope I'm not coming across salesy. I don't want to be pushy on this call. Or, oh, here's my favorite one. I don't want anyone to think I'm trying to sell them something. And it's like, what are you talking about? You have a business. You have something to sell. What do you think? People are stupid. They don't know that this may be a sales call. So it's reciting those mantras that keep you up there and focused on you. But when you're focused on yourself, it's impossible for the other person you're talking to feel seen, to feel heard, to feel received and loved and understood. It's impossible for that to happen because they can sense you're up in your head and not really communicating heart to heart, soul to soul. It's the equivalent of being in a conversation with someone, and we've all had these, where you can tell someone is looking at you, but their mind is somewhere else. It's like they're distracted and you know they are.
Right.
That's what the client is feeling. And when you know you're talking to someone, but they're either looking the other way or you can tell they're not really receiving what you say. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to finish a conversation with that person? Yeah. You might shake your head and say, okay, all right, I'll talk to you sooner. Let's get together for coffee. But in reality, you want nothing to do with that person.
Right.
So that's where you know that something is off, is when you are stuck up in your head, worried too much about yourself, and the focus isn't on the other person. Mm. So, and a lot of times that language is when we tend to apologize a little bit, or the example that I said earlier, when you ask questions, but you apologize or you minimize the conversation. And I think I was on one of your masterminds talking about this, where we diminish our message by using minimizers. And
right.
Minimizers are those words and phrases many professionals use, but mostly women use before they get to that meat of the message. And
like so's and just.
And yes. And even ones that say, I don't mean to bother you, or you sent a proposal and, you know, I know you said you'd get back to me, but I haven't heard from you and I don't know if everything is okay, or I'll be brief. I don't want to waste your time. I know you're busy. I'm not. I know your plate is full, but I know you're swamped, but I'll be quick. Excuse my persistence. I've got dozens of them. Right. Sorry to trouble you. And what it sounds like is that we're diminishing our power, that you're busier than me, even though you need me, you're busier than me. And I'm just going to be, I'm just bugging you. And I really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And
so don't do those.
Stop apologizing. You didn't do anything wrong. Stop diminishing yourself and giving your power away in those nice, nice phrases.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice phrases coming up.
So I've heard you say that opening is the new closing. Can you build on this a little bit?
Oh, yes. And the close is the easiest part. For those people out there who think, I need a closing phrase or I'm not good at closing, listen to this. How you open anything, how you open a conversation, a consultation, or any sales situation determines how the business is closed or if the business is closed. Because how you connect, how you engage, how you ask questions, how you communicate with someone right out of the gate likely determines the outcome early than later in the conversation.
And you know, I mean, it's like you can, I mean, I can think of so many sales calls that I've been on where, you know, you just go in and it's like so smooth and you guys are, you're in this connection and you're in this flow together.
Yep.
And you know, early on, it's like, oh my gosh, this is my next client.
That's right.
So it is, I get that. I get that, how that is such a, you've made that connection right at the get-go and you feel it.
And it's intentional. It's very intentional. It's not, how are you? Good. How are you? How was your weekend? It's not that kind of connection, because that doesn't go deep enough. That's too superficial. That's too surface stuff. Mm-hmm. And when you connect and communicate with someone in a little different way, people notice. They kind of pull back, and they might not consciously say to themselves, she has a different opening. No, they say to themselves, ooh, this feels different. I like her already, because of the way that you took the time to do something different. You ruffled the feathers a little bit and came out of the gate without your typical phrases.
I like it. So where can people learn more about you and all your wonderful work?
Okay. They can go to lizwendling.com, which is my website. And if they want more of what we talked about today, even my on Amazon, I have a couple of books on Amazon.
A couple of books. How many books do you really have, Liz Wendling?
Six.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a couple of books.
I just minimized myself.
Yeah. This woman puts out books in an amazing way, and they're awesome books. So make sure you check out her books.
Oh, and connect with me on LinkedIn. I always appreciate someone who reaches out through LinkedIn.
Awesome. So the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience today?
Okay. Number one, leave people better than you found them. No matter how the sale ends, whether you get the business or not, make them feel like any time spent with you left a lasting impression on them, because they may come back. Mm. And two, don't buy into the myth that you can sell without selling, or you can serve without selling. I know it's alluring for people who hate sales, but it isn't the truth. And number three, what's coming to me? If you don't get the sale, get the lesson. Mm. Find out what maybe you could have done a little better. Do that little debrief I talked about. Did you show up as your highest and best self? And if you didn't, where could you assess and do better?
We're not perfect, but we can always do better. Liz, this has been so much fun, and I knew it would be. And so much wisdom here to share with our listeners. So thank you so much. And I can't wait to see you soon.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend. Listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.